Welcome back into Town 16, Torn of the Zone. Brian Christopherson, Matt Schick on the show today. It is interesting to see how this Maurice Washington story evolved. And it's almost like, doesn't it almost feel like this story has slowly morphed into being more about the Nebraska Athletic Department and what they exactly knew and when they knew it, and not as much about Washington and the, like, the specifics of the case and all that, and the athlete, like, it's kind of morphed more into the details behind the scenes with the Athletic Department at the forefront of what we're talking about. And it's just weird. And listen, there's nobody to blame but the Athletic Department for that, because, again, as I said yesterday, the first statement was problematic. I mean, I honestly think if the first statement on Monday from the Athletic Department was different and didn't have necessarily glaring holes in it, there wouldn't be this massive digging and game of gotcha going on right now when you're comparing and contrasting the statement with what this person said versus this police report versus what Bruning said and what this person said. So again, good lesson to learn, again, is, you know, make sure your first statement is buttoned up and totally true. Because if your first statement has holes in it, or a lie in it, no matter how small it may be, now you've lost some credibility about the whole thing, and it appear to be hiding something, and that's never a good look, right? And that's when people really get out the shovels and start digging. So the Athletic Department tried to set the record straight in an announcement or in a statement yesterday on kind of their, they try to now be like, okay, now here's the real timeline. And I'll try to kind of just hit on the big parts. September 13th, UNL police informed the department officials that the Nebraska Attorney General's office wanted to talk to Washington. At that point, police provided contact information for Jamie Vaughn. The UNL police did not know the nature of the inquiry, the department said in a written statement. That day, Ed Sexton, an investigator in the Attorney General's office, spoke with Vaughn. Vaughn was told that the Attorney General's office was cooperating with the California agency, and Sexton wished to speak with Washington on the agency's behalf. Sexton said Washington was not in any trouble in Nebraska, but wouldn't say whether Washington was a subject of a California agency's inquiry or a witness to a matter being investigated or anything about why the California agency wished to speak with Washington. Vaughn looked into arranging an interview. Vaughn apparently had no further conversations with the Attorney General's office, and the Athletic Department said that Washington, the retained attorney. At that point, proper protocol was followed where Vaughn informed the superiors, Bill Moose, different people like that, and the football program then introduced Maurice Washington to John Bruning. So that's how all of a sudden John Bruning enters into this situation. And everyone knows about the friendship with Davison and Frost and John Bruning. But apparently the football staff was clear to Bruning and Washington that Maurice Washington was going to be treated like a normal client and billed appropriately for Bruning's time. Frost communicated with Bruning to determine whether the football program needed to be concerned or take action. Bruning did not share the nature of the inquiry, quote, due to attorney-client privilege, but said that it involved a text message from when Washington was in California, and Bruning, quote, doubted it would result in criminal charges. Now, no additional details on the matter were provided to anyone in the Athletic Department official set until the report that broke on Monday that named Maurice Washington and more details about the case came out. So that's kind of the, according to the Athletic Department, the timeline of events of when they were made aware, what they did or didn't know, how Bruning got involved, and all that. And so, listen, I'm not in the business of trying to tell you what to believe or what to think. You can kind of read that and digest it as you please. And as you think. Now, I mean, according to the official timeline of events, Frost didn't know about the details of the Washington situation because of attorney-client privilege, according to John Bruning. Do I find that hard to believe? I do. But I also don't love getting in the business of calling people liars. That's also uncomfortable, right? So there you go. There is the official detailed sequence of events. And it kind of seems like right now, trying to get, you know, they got their story together of at every stop, according to the Nebraska Athletic Department, the football staff didn't fully know the nature of the situation with Washington, seemingly until Monday. And again, according to the story, the only thing that the football staff or Frost or the athletic department knew was from Bruning that the situation was, quote, over a text message when he was in California and he doubted it, whether it would result in any criminal charges. So, you know, I mean, let's go with that. I mean, if someone who is, you know, a former attorney general is saying, yeah, it's, you know, if someone who's an expert in this says, hey, it's over a text message, I don't think this is going to be a big deal, it's not going to result in criminal charges, you're good. You'd kind of go, okay, all right. Now, again, do I believe that was maybe all they knew? I don't, but I mean, listen, I don't know that to be certain. But I can understand how Frost may hear that and go, okay, well, now I'm going to shift my focus back onto the football field and Washington is good to continue to play. So whether there was actually more communication between Bruning and Frost on the details, only they know that. Or whether there were details from Maurice Washington relayed to Scott Frost, only they know that. Or whether Bruning just really misread and whiffed on the severity of the issue potentially facing Washington, that certainly is possible. But anyway, you slice it, Nebraska felt comfortable moving forward with playing Maurice Washington and kind of going about business as usual. Which, again, I still don't know if that's fully wrong. I really don't. I mean, you're innocent until proven guilty in this world. One would think that that would apply on the field, too. But again, it depends on the nature of the allegation. All I know is this situation has been one of the more crazy stories I've seen occur to Nebraska football. And the lesson, at least in the moment, in a lot of different ways, is you know, make sure your first official statement, make sure there aren't any holes or inconsistencies in it. Because, again, we're on day 5 of this story, and it's seemingly gotten bigger and bigger each day, and it's kind of seemingly gotten bigger and bigger each day based on what happened behind the scenes and maybe some inconsistencies and, well, that doesn't align with that, and how did this mean with that, and how does that actually add up to that? And I wonder, since there is an arrest warrant signed now for Washington, what that does to his status on the team. And I wonder if Frost will ever engage in any sort of legit Q&A on this story. I doubt it. And, you know, I mean, listen, I'm a positive person and I want things to work out for everyone. I want the young lady in California to feel like justice was served under the language of these laws. But I'll be honest with you, I don't want to see Maurice Washington's life and football career thrown in the garbage over this. And if I'm wrong to say that, if that outrages you to hear that, then I don't know. I mean, okay, then that's how you feel. I think what he did was stupid, and I think what he did was he acted like a jerk, and he was insensitive and stuff. I thought he showed poor judgment, and it was a huge mistake. We'll see what the charges end up being. Now, obviously, I mean, if it's distribution of child porn, I mean, kind of is what it is, right? If that one doesn't stick, then I think he'll probably be back on the field in Lincoln. And you know what? I think I'm okay with that. But we just have to wait and see how all this plays out. We got to wait to see how all this stuff plays out. So there you go. I mean, it's just been what a wild week. And we'll see if anything else. Every day it's been kind of something new, something new, something new. And we'll see if anything else comes out today. All right, Matt Schick, going to stop by in the 1 o'clock hour, 402-951-1620. Coming up next, let's get to Brian Christopherson, Nebraska 24/7 Sports. We'll talk to BC about this Maurice Washington situation, and also defensive line coach Mike Dawson on his way out, who he sees as the next D-line coach. Lots to talk about with BC. We'll do it next.